Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, November 26, 2019. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter How It Works on page 70. We're going to unpack paragraph 2 today that begins with to sum up about sex and ends with would mean heartache. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Mo H., The 12 Traditions, Shannon M., and reading the text today in support is Kara L., Don B., and the rest of the folks here today to greet newcomers, sponsor information, and announcements will be Wendy B. and Leslie M. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting, that would be Monday, November 25th, 2019, is 13,713. And then for today's 7 a.m. Big Book meeting, let's see, that share ID number is 13716, 13,716. And that would be for Monday, November 26, 2019, 7 a.m. meeting. Our OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mo H. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Melanie, and good morning, everyone. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Mo H. I will now ask Shannon M. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, I'm Shannon M., a recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. I'm sorry. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service.
Thanks a million, Shannon M. Appreciate it. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1. To unmute your phone. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and this would be pointing out the star 1 key function only, please, not just the mute on your own phone. Thank you so much for that consideration. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 70. In the chapter, How It Works, and we're going to unpack today paragraph 2 that begins with, to sum up about sex. That single paragraph only, please. And I'd like to ask now Kara L. to begin our meeting today by reading that paragraph and then commenting her 3 minutes on her experience. Hi, Kara.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Kara L., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. To sum up about sex. We earnestly pray for the right idea, for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity, for the strength to do the right thing. If sex is very troublesome, we throw ourselves harder into helping others. We think of their needs and work for them. This takes us out of ourselves. It quiets that imperious urge when to yield would mean heartache. It is quite a paragraph, and there are so many things in there. Again, my name is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. And I think, too, this really speaks to me a lot about, in all things, getting out of self to quiet that imperious urge. I know for me, before I had recovery, sex was a thing I went to after I put down food. You know, I would, all right, I'm going to not eat, and then I would act out in sex. And, you know, here it says, you know, we think of others. We work for them. We get out, we throw ourselves harder into helping. It takes us out of ourselves. And I find most of the time when I'm running into something and I'm worked up, I'm upset, I'm angry, I feel unsettled, it's usually because I'm in self and I haven't reached toward my higher power. I haven't asked for an intuitive thought, inspiration, or a decision. I haven't written up a 10th step. I haven't called a fellow. I haven't worked for another fellow and done something. you know, I haven't worked with a sponsee. All of those things are things that take me out of self and put me back in my higher power's plan. So, you know, I always, you know, to earnestly pray for the right idea, for guidance in questionable situations, for sanity and strength to do the right thing. I mean, those are things that my higher power can give me and does. All I have to do is keep that path clear. Work diligently to keep the path clear and work with others. And I'm ever so thankful and grateful for everybody in Vision who every voice is important. And so if you haven't shared yet, please do, because we want to hear from you and we want to get to know you. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara, for the opening this morning. The lines are now open for all to share and comment on paragraph 2, page 70. If you give me your first name and the first initial of your last name, I can take you down to share.
Hui W.
Hi, Hui. Gotcha.
Leia.
Elaine B. Leia S. and Elaine B.
Roz G.
Roz G, good morning.
Sherry KB.
Sherry KB, hey.
Hang on.
Deborah G.
Deborah G, let's go with that lineup. Like that. Number 6 is a fabulous number. So this is what I have. I have Hoy W, Leia S, Elaine B, Roz G, Sherry KB, and Deborah G. Thanks so much. Hoy, you're up first.
Oh, this is a Hui W. My first name is spelled as H-U-I. I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Connecticut, one day at a time. I grew up in mainland China, and I was taught there was no God, so I looked everywhere. Diets, my willpower, self-help books, religion included, to try to fix my depression and binge eating disorder for the last 30 years. I'm so grateful that an OA member introduced me to Vision for You phone meeting in March this year. And by studying the big book and working the steps under the guidance of my sponsors, I'm able to see the solution, not just to my eating disorder, but to all of the problems in my life. So this paragraph has a lot of information. It shows me like a step one, I'm powerless over imperious urge and questionable situations. And if I go back to the old way, if I rely on myself, I will yield to the urge and it will mean heartaches. So, and I also saw step two, I can't, God can. And step three, I'll let God. And also how do I do it? I see step 11, by praying for the right ideal and seeking God's guidance and strength to do the right thing. And I also saw step 12 by throwing myself into helping others and thinking about other people's needs. And this paragraph really sums up the whole point is to take us out of ourselves. And I just want to share like a this program really works, and I could never imagine it would work for me. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Hoy. Next up is Leia S. Good morning, Leia.
I didn't know that I was going to be called. Thank you very much, Melanie. Thank you, everyone. Today is November 26, 2019. On November 26, 2012, I was in the grocery store and I had tears coming down my eyes and I was shoving boxes and cellophane bags into my basket. I didn't even look at them. And I was so happy that there was nobody in this aisle and that I came early enough. And as soon as somebody went into that aisle, I pushed my basket out of there. When I came out of the grocery store, there was a woman who approached me and invited me to a meeting. She automatically sensed it. I came in to these rooms, to vision, in 2013. And I am abstinent since October of 2014. When I lost my weight, the first thing was everybody said, oh, you're a sexy, attractive woman. And if they didn't say it, I could see it in their eyes. And it did something to me. And then I read this paragraph and I said, I don't know how to meditate. I don't know how to do that. But one thing I do know, I don't want to do things that are going to lead me back into the food. I'm going to harm myself. Because in the end, at the end of the day, this is what it will do to me. And it will continue and continue and continue. And I learned how to meditate on my own. And it's the best way. And then I finally went and understood from others how meditation is done. And thank you, God. Thank you, God. I am at peace because I am not a hypocrite. I am who you see from the outside. That's what I am in the inside. And that's what I thought, that this is what this paragraph is telling us. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Leah S. And now, next up is, let's see, Elaine B. Hi, Elaine.
Hello, Melanie C. Grateful for you. Grateful for everybody on this line, this incredible meeting, and such powerful shares. Thank you so much. To sum up about sex, this paragraph is full of great information, and I'm so grateful that it addresses these important things. This is a design for living, and it really works. It's a design that touches every area and every aspect of our lives. And to be honest with you, I think the instructions in this paragraph can be applied to just about anything. When I have sponsees that are trying to get through the steps and all the emotion that comes up as we begin to, you know, write our four step and think with anticipation, who am I going to share this with on this planet? It makes me think of, you know, just sort of our sex conduct that we prefer to have remain hidden, thank you very much, but yet have access to the ease and comfort that at times it brings us. But if we're struggling with our food, I'll often point my sponsees to this paragraph and just ask them to switch out the word sex with food. To sum up about food, we earnestly pray for the right ideal, for guidance in these questionable situations, for sanity, for the strength to do the right thing. If food is very troublesome, we throw ourselves harder into helping others. We think of their needs and work for them. It takes us out of ourselves. It quiets the imperious urge to compulsively overeat when to yield would mean heartache. Thanksgiving is a time where I would have to spend time leaving the lovely, huge family gathering of my husband's enormous family and take a walk and make a call and get back centered with God, with program, with God's right ideal, to get back, to get the guidance that I need to stay sane around food, around the new family that I had married into, you know, earlier on in the marriage and the work on the steps. And you know, is able to be restored to sanity. And making those calls do service for somebody else as well. So, you know, these beautiful instructions can apply to many things, and certainly we want to apply them to sex and come up with ideals. We can also create relationships. How do I want to show up as a wife? How do I want to show up as a daughter? How do I want to show up as a friend? How do I want to show up as a sponsee? We can ask God for guidance in these situations, for sanity and the strength to do the right thing. And I'm so grateful for everybody on the line to do this with, and a happy Thanksgiving almost. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Elaine B. Roz G., you're up next, and then Sherry KP will come in after you.
Hi, Melanie. Hi. Vision for you people. This is Roz G., and I am recovered compulsive overeater, and my abstinent date is July the 10th, 2019, and I have been abstinent for 139 days. And, you know, I've been practicing the Christian religion for, you know, since I was 18 years old, And there's, you know, some parts of this big book that boosted me into actually practicing it, because I certainly, you know, boasted about being a Christian, but, you know, some of the things that I did, like having affairs with married men and being a married woman, and other crazy, sordid sexual escapades, was certainly not the actions of a Christian woman. And I toted, you know, I had a Bible and went to church and still acted that way. But, you know, after I got into this program, and a sponsor took me through the big book, not the OA books, thank you God for them, but not those books, and this paragraph came up, whoa, the right ideal for guidance. Is this a questionable? Is doing these things sane? And can I do it? No, I need strength from God to do it. And so this is where the big book, this is one of the paragraphs in which the big book actually, you know, boosted my ways, you know, the, you know, to help me to be the woman that I'm claimed to be, to actually behave what I believe. I did not behave what I believe. Did I really believe it? I don't think so. But, you know, acting as if and just doing the actions actually, you know, helped me into believing that they're the right things to do. And so, you know, a right thing for me is not to flirt with married men or to, you know, even, you know, date a married man, duh. But, you know, that those are the right things to do. I don't do that. You know, that's out of the question for me. That's no, nope. And, I guess I'm rambling now, but, when I think, you know, now I have people to work with, phone calls to make, I work other programs. Holidays are a big deal for people in 12-step programs in our area. And, I'm going to listen to an AA speaker, down the street. Down the road from me before I go to my family's house. I thank God for that. And, you know, be able to laugh with other people. And, yes, it does take me out of myself. And I don't have the desire to go on sordid sexual escapades today. My desire is to be able to share myself with someone who is committed to me and to be what I would want someone to be to me, to actually be that person rather to expect it from them. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. Sherry KB, you're up next, and then Deborah G. will follow you, and then we'll be able to open it up for more comment on that particular paragraph, paragraph 2, page 70. Hi, Sherry.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, and so grateful to be with all of you. And thank you for your service, Melanie, as always. You do so much. You amaze me. And Team Tuesday. I'm just going to jump right in here because the first thing I see is a prayer. We earnestly pray for the right ideal, for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity and for strength to do the right thing. You know, it was pointed out to me that there are three prayers in for sex conduct, and that means sex relationships or sex conduct, or however you choose to identify with this. And there's one prayer for resentment and one prayer for fear, but there's three for sex relationships. And so here's the third prayer. We read the first prayer on page 69, second paragraph, and the second prayer is on page 69, third paragraph, and here's the third one. And so for me, these are incredible directions for me, because if anything is troublesome for me, my sex relationships, my intimacy, anything that goes on in my life, anything that's hard for me or difficult for me, I need to throw myself harder into helping others and think of their needs and work for them. And it takes me out of myself. And to me, and it says, quiets the imperious urge, which means domineering, overbearing, you know, that type of thoughts. Because if I don't, not only if I yield, it will be a heartache, possibly for somebody else, but especially for myself, because if I have a resentment, because resentments have the power to kill me and bring me down and destroy my peace of mind, which means I will be face down in the food again if I don't take care of myself and I don't follow these directions and do this work. That's what I've learned through the years, is that what I was told over and over and over again is I've got to keep my nose in this book. I've got to be working with others. I've got to help others, because that's how it helps me, in all honesty, and always turning to my higher power for guidance and directions. And I just love this, because it's telling me if anything's troublesome, Sherry, anything that bothers you. I know that when the holidays start coming, I notice I start, you know, I can start getting, you know, I have to watch myself, because just like with the food, I can be face down on my emotions during the holidays. And so I really have to look out for myself. I really have to make sure I'm doing the work I'm supposed to be doing, that I'm, you know, always abstinent, happily and contently and neutral on the food, and leaning on God and working with others and doing, you know, really like a spiritual gym. I need to keep buffing up on my program, because especially around the holidays. And I'm so grateful for all of you. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Sherry. Thank you, Sherry KB. Deborah G., you're up next, and then the lines will be open for more to share. Paragraph 2, page 70, so you want to get ready. Hey, Deborah.
Hey, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service today and everyone that's made this meeting possible. I remember when I was in the throes of my sex addiction, I could not see anything. I could not see that I was doing something wrong. And then when I finally got to a spiritual connection that got in there somehow, that awakened me to the feelings that I felt of what my behavior was doing to myself and to other people, that pain, that hurt, that inside desperation, was I able to ask God for help, please, because I could not stop. I was doing these things and I didn't want to do them. I finally was awakened to seeing what I was doing, and it was becoming even more painful, not just what I was doing, but continuing to do them and couldn't stop. And that's when I prayed, help me, guide me, what do I do? Who do I need to talk to? You know, and I was guided to this woman that was in that other program, and I was led to the beautiful 12 steps of doing the work to deal with this thing that I had going on. You know, before I was in complete lack of reason or foresight. I was doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, and I was in so much pain and desperation. And when I came to her and started doing those beautiful 12 steps with that addiction, did I start to feel some hope and some freedom. It was beautiful. And then I was able to carry that and do that with someone else. You know, and in doing that, I found that I was no longer acting out like that. And what I remember was, you know, that's not my true nature. My true nature is being connected and being at one and being in that place of presence. You know, being in that place of presence. And I'm realizing, continuing on, all these things take me away from my true nature, which is that connected, grounded, love, presence, feeling. And that all it is about is clearing away all these blockages so that I can be of service to help other people to clear away those blockages so that they can rest and be at peace in their presence. And I'm so grateful for those beautiful 12 steps. And thank you all. Have a beautiful, wonderful, just an amazing Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that, Deborah G. Lines are now open for additional people to comment on paragraph 2, page 70. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, I can take 4 or 5 of you. Dorita and somebody R.
Dan L.
Leslie M.
Tell me the person with the R, then I can get to the other two that spoke. Somebody with the last initial.
Lisa J.R.
Lisa J.R., thanks so much. And then I know that I heard
Dan L.
Let's see, Leslie M., that's who I was looking for. Dan
Yes.
Dan L. Okay, and one more, please.
Marilyn T.
Marilyn T.
Beverly R.
Hey, Beverly, we'll see if we've got time. We might just have it, so we'll plug you in here at the end. Okay, so that would be it for now. Dorita P., Lisa J.R., Dan L., Leslie M., Marilyn T., and then we hope, God willing, Beverly R. So it's your turn. 3 minutes, Dorita P.
Thank you, Melanie. Thank you so much. And I'm sorry I missed you at the convention. I kind of looked for you, but I didn't see you. I guess you were there. So, yes, my name is Dorita P., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, so I'm really grateful I have a seat here. Yes, to sum up about sex, the one lady shared, I'm sorry I didn't remember her name, but she said to sum up about food, and I was just thinking, like, I want to share, but what am I going to share? And I was thinking, to sum up about anger, to sum up about depression, to sum up about anything, you know, I'll just use depression as an example. We earnestly pray for the right ideal, for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity, and for the strength to do the right thing. If depression is very troublesome, we throw ourselves the harder into helping others. We think of their needs and work for them. This takes us out of ourselves. It's quiet. The imperious urge, I know for me, when to yield would mean to heartache, would mean heartache. And, you know, I heard a lot of people with my anger and with my depression. And with the depression, I thought I was just hurting me. I thought I was just staying in the house and hurting me, not affecting anybody else. But I don't want to, I guess the word is deflect or, you know, from sex. And so I'm not in a relationship yet, but I'm interested in a guy, and a guy is interested in me. And we're going to go out, but we just haven't gone out yet. And so I just have this opportunity to do something different. And I'm really grateful for this opportunity to do something different. And I don't want to hurt him, and, you know, of course I don't want to hurt me. You know, we're selfish, but I really don't want to hurt him. And so I'm taking it slowly. We're taking it slowly. So I'm just really grateful for this program because I wouldn't have that without this. So I'm just really grateful. Thank you so much, Melanie.
Thanks so much, Dorita P. Now we're going to look at what Lisa J.R. has to say about that paragraph, and then Dan L. will follow you, Lisa. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Melanie, and good morning, everybody. Lisa J.R. here from Baltimore, Maryland, gratefully recovered. Thanks for this meeting. You know, I draw the third and the seventh step prayer like a gun in my day-to-day behavior, but the magnum opus of all prayers is this final prayer of the sex conduct. You know, I chased my validation, who I was as a human being back in the day. You know, I'm a little long in the tooth, as we say in the horse business. You know, I'm a little older now, so I'm not chasing that validation. But, you know, back in the day, I chased my validation through my sexuality. And I know who I am in God now. And thank you all for helping me really see what that is, what that picture looks like in program. I know what I am, and it's not bad. And I'm not ashamed of who I am anymore. But you know, this is our base nature, our God-given sex base nature. But this prayer, these three prayers of the sex conduct, show me how to live life. You know, I had a problem living life. I had a problem with my behavior, my thinking. So truly, you know, I say this prayer as pertains to what I'm thinking, how I'm behaving. This is a behavioral prayer. I'm asking God for the next inspired action, the next thought, the next way I can help my fellow man. It no longer is about me and validating myself externally. It's about what God would have me be. And you know, again, that little prayer, thy will not mine be done. I want to be in alignment with what God has for my life. I don't want to step out of alignment, out of that beautiful flow of the Spirit of God, because I'm chasing validation, or I want to be important, or I want to be around the right kind of people. This is about how I treat the beggar, how I treat my office mates, how I treat my husband, and how I treat men around me, women around me, you name it. It covers everything. And I'll try to leave time on the clock, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Lisa J.R. Dan L., you're up next, and then Leslie M. will follow you. Star 1, Dan L. We'll see if we can grab him up next go around. Leslie M., are you ready to go for your three?
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. This is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Excuse me. And it says, you know, to sum up about sex, we earnestly pray for the right ideal, for guidance in each questionable situation, for sanity, and for the strength to do the right thing. You know, and I have to remember this in everything that I do. It's not just about sex. It's not even just about relationships. It's about how I conduct myself in this world. I need that guidance from a power greater than myself in order to, remember who I am in the world. And for me, it started with, you know, there's a God and I'm not it. And knowing that I am not in charge of any person's situation, and that, you know, that I have to really look at my selfishness and where am I? Yesterday I had a conversation with my sister and I interrupted her twice, and that's not something I normally do, but it happened yesterday. But I could go back and make the apology and say, you know, I'm sorry, I thought you were finished with what you were saying. And I'm grateful for that. But it also says here, you know, we throw ourselves the harder into helping others. When anything is a problem, when I'm the problem, I throw myself harder into helping others. And I'm not doing for them what they need to be doing for themselves, but it's certainly a fantastic way for me to get out of myself and to, you know, and to have that, you know, that innate selfishness. I take a look at that once in a while. But as I turn to someone else, I do forget about my problems. I forget about what's going on in my life so that I can, you know, be helpful, be useful to someone else. And for that, I am very, very grateful. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Leslie, for that. Dan L., do you happen to be back? Dan L., you're 3 minutes. Well, perhaps we won't hear from Dan today.
Yeah, this is Dan.
Marilyn.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. I can. You're
Thank
on for
you.
Three.
I got a multimedia message. I'm sorry. My name's Dan L. from Bend, Oregon, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I used to try to fill the void in my life with this subject. And, you know, you take a drunken horse thief and you sober him up. What do you got? And I had to go to another program for a while just to deal with this subject, you know, because I was serially doing this, you know, with women. And it's nice to be able to hear women on this line and things share what it was like for them. And not until it was suggested that I just stay out of relationships for a year, and I did it for a year and a half, and I finally broke that cycle, you know, of doing this and just being so miserable. And I just wanted to share that, you know, if anybody's still in that cycle, you know, just stop and stop it for a year and a half and continually just focus on not doing that abstinence. And, you know, food's so much harder because we've still got to eat. But I've had the compulsion to compulsively overeat removed from me since I walked into my first OA meeting. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dan L. Now it's Marilyn T. being followed up by Beverly R.
Thank you, Melanie. This is Marilyn T., grateful compulsive overeater in the Monterey Bay in California. As we were reading that paragraph, I keep being drawn over to the other page that had not any wording, but my sponsor and I'm finishing my fourth step now to give my fifth step the day after Thanksgiving. And I'm reminded of some things I wrote in that blank part of that page 71 where it ends at the top. My sponsor said some things, and so these are not my original ideas. These are just things as I finish up my fourth step, and I actually literally say this prayer that we just talked about constantly in order that it applied to my whole life. Some things that were brought up were that I have to remind myself that I am overly sensitive and frequently wrong. And I smile when I say that because it's like this just really my previous life before really doing these steps for the second time. My previously thinking, and I'm laughing when I'm saying this, this is me in a nutshell if you were to sum me up prior to A Vision for You and working the 12 steps for the second time. This would really sum it up. This would be on my gravestone, sad to say, but true. And by the way, I have references on where this was taken from. My sponsor gave it to me. But as I, other things in trying to finish up my fourth step, expectations are premeditated resentments. This was like a whole new idea for me. Like what? Wow. And I repeat this again, expectations are premeditated resentments. Setting ourselves up for the resentment. Wanting people to be different from who they are is selfish and a setup for resentments. Being selfish is, you know, obviously not following the scripture action. Self-seeking is trying to get my own way. Wanting people to do things my way. Being judgmental, people-pleasing, and being manipulative. These are things that all came to light when I finish my fourth step and get deeper, you know, the layers of the onion. And I see my part in a lot of things, and I always had a part in it. And, you know, I just realized, it wasn't just realized, it's the coming of the heart softening and realizing that really the only way that I will be truly happy is to help other people and to work with them and to work in this book constantly and to sponsor and just to be as close as I can be to my higher power, which I call God. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much and happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thank you, Marilyn T. Beverly R., you're up for 3 minutes.
Can you hear me?
I'll probably take one more. I
can you hear me?
I sure can.
Great. So I wanted to talk about the sex conduct, and I too am doing my fourth step, finishing up my fourth step. And when I am remembering when I was in my 20s, 20 going on, just more 19 years old, that sort of age. And I realize now, I didn't think of it then, I was dating at least 3 men steadily, and oh my goodness, I thought I was doing nothing wrong because I was having sex with only one of them, but I was doing a lot of foreplay with the others, and I'm looking at this today, and some terrible things happened, this is true, that were unforgivable, and I'm looking at it and saying, Beverly, what you did was wrong. It was wrong to be dating 3 men steadily. I don't care how far you went with them, it was wrong. It was wrong. And now, I'm now 65 years old, and I just met someone, and we seem to like each other. We both like each other. And I said to myself I was going to call him over for a rendezvous at my house today. You know exactly what I mean. And I started praying, and I think my inner voice, which I call God, that still small voice said, Beverly, you need to wait. You need to wait until it's special for both of you. You need to wait. You need to wait. Don't do this. And I said, shucks, honestly. But anyway, I listened. I listened to the inner voice. And at any rate, my sister announced that she was working from home. So I said, okay, Beverly, you sit there. It's not going to happen. So, it is so difficult at times because, as other speakers have said, God made us sexual beings, and God saw that it was good, and He wants it to be good and pure and right. I'm not telling anyone you're going straight to hell if you have sex on without being married, but let it be something special, and that's
time.
That's what my time is up. Okay, thank you. Let it be something special. And since you're talking about sex conduct, that's how I end. Thank you for listening. It's Beverly R. from Gaithersburg, Maryland.
Thank you, Beverly R. Time will allow for one more person to share for just about 3 minutes to wrap up this portion of the meeting before we close out. Who would like to take that spot? Star one, please.
Terry S.
Terry S., it's yours. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. This is Terry S. from Bend, Oregon. And I was listening to the earlier meeting, and Harlan announced that today was Bill W.'s 124th birthday. So I wanted to bring our attention to that, and I thank Bill for his desperate inspiration. This topic, what I hear in this paragraph is when I find life troublesome. It's the food, it's my relationships, it's my work situation. When I get off track with my higher power, I start trying to run the show, which happens hourly, to be honest. And when I draw back and ask for that divine inspiration, I'm led in directions that I can't even imagine. And it does save me from that ultimate heartache. So I'm very, very grateful for this big book and the recovery. I'm celebrating every day of abstinence, and it is such a miracle. So for the newcomers and for people out there struggling, there is a solution, and it's in this book with recovered people who have walk the path before you. So hang in there and start making outreach calls and keep listening. Thanks. That's all I got for today.
Thank you, Terry S. What a great way to end our meeting today, the recorded portion with the shares on that particular paragraph today. So what I'd like to do is now thank everyone who made this meeting possible, especially for this month, Team Tuesday. If you're staying, it'll be great to hear you next week. And if you're moving on, we'll see you again soon as we continue to tread this road of happy destiny. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, and then we'll follow that with a Serenity Prayer. But stick around. We're not going to literally be done. Don B., would you please read Our Book is Meant to be Suggestive Only for us this morning?
Yes, good morning. This is Dawn B. from Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God,
admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past and give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you tread to the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.